Hey, we're back again this week with our friends Kane and Wilma and Gloria. Thanks for coming back today. Last week I talked about this plant, and today we're going to talk about it again because Jesus tells us another parable or a story about weeds and wheat. And he tells the story as somebody went out to a landowner went out and sowed good seed in his soil, in his field. And then when everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds. And remember what weeds do to plants? Weeds choke them out, or they starve their roots from growing so they can't get enough nourishment. Weeds are like sin. Sin wants to do that to us. It wants to keep us from shining for God. So the workers for the landowner said, should we go out and pull out the weeds? And the landowner said, no. He said, let them grow together until the harvest. Then I will send my workers, and they will take the weeds. They'll take the weeds and they'll gather them together and bundle them together, and they will burn them, get them ready to be burned. But the wheat, or the good seed, good plants, they will be gathered into my barn, says the landowner. Wow, look at that stranglehold on there. It's so tight. So they're going to go out and they're going to gather these weeds, and they're going to bundle them up for burning. And those will be destroyed. That sin and those weeds will be destroyed. And the harvest, the seeds from the wheat, this is buckwheat, they will be harvested and brought into the master's barn. Well, we all have sin in us, don't we? And so we have to pray that Jesus will help us, that Jesus will... that Jesus, when it's time for all of this to happen, that Jesus will be on watch and that he'll protect our lives while the bad parts are taken out of us and only the good is left. And as the bad is taken out of the world and only the good is left, that Jesus is going to supervise that process, and that which is evil and sinful will be destroyed. And what will be left will be that which is good and life-giving. And that's the whole thing about a plant. This plant is life-giving because it shares itself with the bees. A weed is only living for itself. Yeah. It only lives for itself, and it only lives to destroy the good plants. But this plant, this buckwheat, lives for the bees. In fact, it gives itself to the bees. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to live for others, not just for ourselves. Because when we live for ourselves and we're selfish and we don't help others out and we don't care about their feelings, and then we're just like weeds. We just care about ourselves. But to be children of God, we live for others, like this buckwheat lives for honeybees. We can live for our neighbors and our brothers and sisters and our moms and dads and our church and our school and our friends. See, it's just there's such a difference between a weed's life and a good plant's life. Just like there's such a difference between a sinful person's life and a person who tries to live for God. And again, we're not going to be perfect. I said this last week. We're not going to be perfect. But where we mess up, we can ask for forgiveness. And we can ask Jesus to help us grow into being more giving of ourselves, more like Jesus has been for us. He gave himself for us. So we can ask Jesus to help us grow like that too. So thanks for coming up again today. Let's pray. Jesus, you teach us a lot by the things in nature, like weeds and buckwheat, and just help us to be more like the buckwheat and to give ourselves to bless the world around us, to bring life to the world around us, and to bring joy to the world around us in our own homes, in our schools, in our Sunday school classrooms, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, just help us to shine for you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for coming up, and I wish you God's amazing blessings so that you can share those with others. And that's the same for you. God's amazing blessings to you. Have a wonderful day. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" He replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we have another challenging parable that comes from Jesus, this third major speech of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. It's a parable that we call the parable of the weeds and the wheat. In this parable, a landowner sows good seed in his field while everyone was asleep following that seeding. The enemy came and sowed weeds in the field and then went away. Once the wheat emerged and began to shoot heads of grain, the weeds also emerged. And so the servants came to the landowner and asked, "Did you not sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from?" The answer from the landowner was, "An enemy has done this." An enemy who is revealed in verse 39 to be the devil, the diabolical one, the one who stands against God. This is a parable about, or a story that helps those first hearers and us even today wrestle with questions about the world, about ourselves, and about God. Where did sin come from? How long must we bear it? And why doesn't God destroy it now, immediately, and free us from this burden? There's also the underlying question of why was God asleep? A human fundamental question that we wrestle with from time to time in our own faith journey. Why does it seem sometimes? Why does it seem that God is asleep? There is in this parable both good news and bad news for all people. First, the good news for those who are rooted in evil. You have some time to rape and pillage the earth, to wreak your havoc upon God's creation only to benefit yourself. The bad news for those rooted in evil, your time will end. What you build will disappear and be destroyed. And your reign of terror, it will come to an end. Those who are hell-bent on evil will run over anyone in their way, and there is no one or nothing they are unwilling to sacrifice to get what they want. We've known some of those people. People like Adolf Hitler,
or the dictatorship of Pinochet in Chile, a ruthless and violent dictatorship that when it was in power, it simply took many people out to sea and dumped them to drown in the ocean. Loved ones of many just simply disappeared if they stood against that ruthlessness and violence. They simply disappeared and were gone forever. We've heard of some of these people, a drunken father who abuses spouse and children. We've heard of some of these people, parents who lock their children in closets or in cages and don't feed them. We've heard of some of these people, rapists who kidnap their victim and keep them held hostage in bondage for years, even impregnating them. We've heard of these people. These things, these people exist, but their time, their days are numbered. The bad news for those who strive to live godly lives is that the weeds by God's own admission that were sown while God was asleep, and weeds by God's own permission will remain for now. These weeds must be endured. The good news for those who strive to live in relationship to God and to neighbor is that not one will be sacrificed. That is, except the one who willingly sacrificed himself so that the others would be ransomed, and that is Jesus. Jesus says in this parable, or the landowner says in this parable to the request of the servants to go and pull the weeds, if you pull the weeds now during the growing season, you may uproot some wheat along with it. And Jesus is not willing to sacrifice a single one. I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus is not willing to sacrifice a single one. That is good news, my friends. That is good news, but it is news that is so contrary to our world today and to the world that Jesus lived in. The world around us and we ourselves, we participate in the sacrificing of people all the time. We sacrifice people to poverty and hunger. We sacrifice people to the lack of education and clean water. We sacrifice right now in our world today. We are willing to sacrifice people to COVID-19 in order to get our economy rolling again. We are willing to sacrifice creation for our own pleasure and greed. We're willing to sacrifice others for our own convenience. Stores must be open 24/7 these days, forcing people to work nights away from their children and families so that we can shop when we and where we want to. We sacrifice people for our own pleasure. Pornography, the pornography business is on the rise, constantly growing. And the forms of human trafficking and human slavery these days and other forms of human humiliation. We are willing to sacrifice others for our own economic gain. We force people to live in ghettos. We have forced people to live on reservations of the poorest land. We have forced people to live in concentration camps, waiting for their number to come up. We sacrifice people for our own illusion of safety as we continue to fail to regulate the gun industry in this nation. As we continue our military and war complex, that continues to spend billions and billions of dollars on money of money that we don't have, again, sacrificing others and relegating them to their places of poverty and humiliation. We have overcrowded prisons that lend themselves to, again, to the illusion of our own safety. We're willing to sacrifice even those in our own families. We've heard about this from Jesus in chapter 11, that when people turn to Jesus, when people get on the side of Jesus, there will be division between fathers and mothers, children and parents, siblings, and all the like. We're willing to sacrifice others, even those in our own family, to our own rightness, to our own pride. We're willing to write them off if they don't agree with our politics or if they don't agree with our decisions. We're willing to write them off, to sacrifice them, so that we don't have to be confronted with our own self-righteousness, with our own sense of rightness that may actually be wrong. We're willing to sacrifice others to our own privately held or publicly spoken prejudices, our own forms of racism, our ideas of one group's supremacy over another. And if not that, then we're willing to sacrifice them to our own delusions of peace when there is no justice. We're willing to sacrifice people all the time. In our own Bill of Rights, we profess that all people are created equal, and yet we fail day in and day out to treat others as though they are equal in any way, shape, or form. But God is not willing to sacrifice one. God is not willing to sacrifice one. Jesus is not willing to sacrifice one. The Holy Spirit is not willing to sacrifice one. The Holy Trinity is not willing to sacrifice one except the self. Jesus, God's Son, Jesus was uprooted. He was uprooted. He was uprooted from his throne on high. And he was placed into this world. He was born from Mary into this world. And as he grew and as he lived out God's reign of justice and mercy and grace, he was uprooted again. He was uprooted again because of the evil that is in the heart of human people like you and me. He was uprooted. He was crucified on a cross. He was hung so that his feet couldn't touch the ground, so that the air was sucked out of him. And this happened because of the cruelty and the unwillingness of human beings, corrupted by evil, to accept his reign of love. But now we must continue. We must continue to endure sin. And the only way, it seems to me, that this could work, the only way that this, it seems to me, could be a good idea, the only way a father, a loving father, could allow this for his children, the only way a loving father could allow weeds to grow with wheat is if that father knows something that the children don't. If the father can see something that the children can't. If the father knows that his precious plantings will survive the onslaught from the weeds. Not only survive, but somehow come through it and thrive thrive in the morning with life, abundance, and blessing. If God isn't willing to sacrifice one to the cleansing, to a cleansing of pulling weeds out of wheat, or of the cleansing of sin out of the midst of beauty and blessing, then God isn't willing to sacrifice one to the onslaught either. And so in our struggle to understand God's decisions, in our struggle to understand the world around us, in our struggle to coexist within ourselves of lives of both blessing and evil, in our struggle to live and abide in those confusing circumstances, let us trust the wisdom of the Father. And there is some wisdom in this parable for us. There is some deep and abiding, some life-giving wisdom for us if we listen. And Jesus says, let those who have ears to hear, let them listen. And one of the pieces of wisdom that comes out of this text is that we should not be on the side of evil. And if we are, we have time to repent, to turn around and to ask God to transform our lives, to look more godly, to be more Christ-like to our neighbor, to get our gaze off of ourselves and to look at our neighbors and the needs that they have, to get our gaze off of ourselves and get our eyes on creation, so that rather than raping and pillaging creation or taking advantage of it and using it for our own good, we can look at ways that the whole creation can bless the whole creation. Don't be on the side of evil. Another piece of wisdom that comes from this text is an encouragement to be of good courage as you face your own demons and as you face the onslaught of evil in this world. Be of good courage because God is with you and God is preparing a future for you through Jesus Christ. And finally, look at those you have been willing to sacrifice. Give them a second look. Ask God to assist you to find a way to healing, to reconciliation between you and they. And ask God to help you find healing for your soul and theirs. Dear friends, this is a challenging parable, but it does teach us about ourselves and our own struggles against evil. It does teach us about the world around us and how we are called to live in it in ways that glorify God and perpetuate God's mission and God's work. And it teaches us about God. One who is not willing to give up on us. One who is not willing to sacrifice us for the sake of others. One who is steadfast. One who is merciful. One who is full of grace. Who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for all of his creation that he longs to redeem, to bless, and to heal. Amen.